In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most often, we hear this lesson on the great vigil of Easter. Speaking to the Jews in a time of exile, God promises to renew his covenant with them and to bring them home. For our part, Christians have always understood this prophecy in terms of the mission of Jesus to all people everywhere. And so at Easter, we remember how God delivered his ancient and beloved people from slavery. And against this backdrop, we remember Jesus breaking the power of death itself and setting us free from every form of human bondage. But God's promises to Israel come before that. They've been carried off by the Babylonians, their enemies to the north, in an imperial war of conquest. Their temple has been destroyed. Their holy things have been looted and desecrated. They've known defeat and brutality at the hands of their oppressors. They've experienced frustration and even despair. And yet God is with them. God never, ever abandons his people. And so God raises up prophets and fills them with his Spirit so that they can preach his word. God's word is powerful, and it is able to bring about what he says. Whenever God speaks his word to us, he is inviting us to be changed by his love and to collaborate with his saving purpose for the world. Today, God promises us a new exodus, for soon God will be bringing us out of exile and defeat. Our God has come near, and he is working. He is working to save us. He is about to do something new. See, says the Lord, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. God goes on to say that he is a father to the people, but the images God uses are equally maternal. God's love for us is the tender love of a good and loving parent who nurtures and strengthens and consoles us. God's love is also that of our shepherd and king who fights off the wolves and leads us safely home. God heals us. God makes us whole. That brings us to the gospel lesson, where Jesus meets Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is blind, and so he sits by the roadside and begs for a living. In those days, people like Bartimaeus had few other options. The specific road mentioned is the road to Jericho. It's the very same road that Jesus will talk about in the parable of the Good Samaritan. It is a dangerous, dangerous road filled with bandits. But when Jesus sees Bartimaeus there begging, he takes action as the Son of God. He shows us the liberator God of Exodus at work in our flesh. Jesus sees Bartimaeus. He sees this man cut off from his neighbors and unable to make a living. He sees the stigma that separates him from his community and their worship. Jesus really sees Bartimaeus, just like long ago, God heard the cries of his people in Egypt. Our God is a God of mercy and steadfast love. He is moved by our cries for help. He never fails to hear us. And so when Jesus sees Bartimaeus, he comes alongside him and he offers to help. Jesus doesn't overpower Bartimaeus. Like a friend helping a friend, he asks him, "What do you want me to do for you? Friend, how can I help you?" And then, once Bartimaeus has named what he needs, and only then, Jesus restores Bartimaeus' vision and sets him free so that he can follow the way. Brothers and sisters, today Jesus is calling us to follow him in the way of love. He is calling us to be healed of our spiritual blindness so that we can see and befriend our neighbors and respond to them in love. He is renewing us in the spirit of love. He is setting us free from all that holds us back, from everything that makes us afraid. And he is calling us this morning to share his mission. He's calling us to follow him right here in Longview, Texas. He is calling us to regather his church, to make it stronger and more faithful on the other side of COVID-19. One day we'll get there. But more than that, God is calling us to help him change the world. Have you noticed there's something wrong in our world? One person at a time, one church at a time, one neighborhood and school and city at a time, Jesus is calling us to help him change the world. Until every last one of us learns to see the world and its people the way he does, and then help him to make it whole. Because too often, the places we live and the communities we belong to are filled with isolation, desperation, and rage. Too often, we mistreat each other and find ourselves wounded and lonely and estranged from our neighbors. For we live in the earthly city, the city founded by Cain, with all its inhumanity and violence. But we long for Jesus and the New Jerusalem. This morning, I'd like to challenge us to see each other with the eyes of Jesus. We can start with the people here in this room and with our brothers and sisters at Trinity. We won't stop there, but let's start there. Do we really see each other? Do we see the various ways that we are hurting? Do we see the grief? Do we see the frustration? Have we bothered to learn each other's stories? Brothers and sisters, to borrow some words from St. Paul, I believe Jesus is calling us to bear one another's burdens. But in addition to that, are we allowing ourselves to be seen and helped? Are we allowing other people to really help us? Are we sharing our stories of struggle and faith? Are we being honest with each other and with God? Are we asking God and each other for what we really need? I am convinced that most of us, even those who seem to have it all together, are suffering in some way. Everybody's got something. Our Lord is closer to us than we are to ourselves. He knows us inside and out. He is acquainted with our grief. He knows who we are and what we need. One thing is certain. We can bring our whole selves to Jesus. We can always turn to him for healing and for transformation. Today, he is calling us to share his love with each other and to participate in one another's healing. Here at Trinity, we are an imperfect church. There isn't any other kind. There's never been another kind of church. But by the grace of God, we are a very good church. I know that by how some of you care for me and how I see you caring for one another. We are a community where real healing, real forgiveness, and real love are experienced. We are a church, one of very few in this town, where all kinds of people are welcomed and embraced for who we really are. We are a church where we don't have to measure up to some kind of arbitrary standard in order to be loved and accepted. We are a church where Jesus meets us where we are and then invites us to follow him. Jesus gathers us around himself to renew us in his love. That's what the meal we are about to share is all about. Jesus feeds us with his own body and blood. He renews us in his spirit. And then he sends us out in the power of that spirit to help him change the world. Until every last one of us knows real joy, real love, real freedom and forgiveness. And we feast together at his table in the New Jerusalem. See, says the Lord, see, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. Amen.